Let me say just enough on the topic to refresh your memory and get you on your way. David wrote, "My soul waits in silence for God only." Psalm 62:1. The literal Hebrew sentence reads almost backwards from the English translation. Only for God in silence does my soul wait. The word translated silence comes from the Hebrew verb that means to whisper softly. It's the idea of whispering a secret to somebody you love, not loud enough for anyone else to hear. In this case, it's only for God to hear. Only appears 6 times in this psalm. For David, there's no one else but the Lord. With this in mind, look carefully at the passage and you'll see what we are to do. Number 1, wait for God to direct your steps. My soul waits in silence for God only. Don't run ahead, wait. A red light means wait, watch carefully. You can't wait and run at the same time. Verse 1 is David's declaration. Verse 5 is his command. My soul, wait in silence for God only. He's talking to himself. Ever had to do that? Sure you have, in the growing pains of this Christian life. Soul, self, listen. You do what you've been told. That's what the psalmist is saying. Wait for God to direct your steps. Number 2, trust God to provide your needs. From Him is my salvation, verse 1 continues. He only is my rock. Okay, you are to wait on Him, trusting Him to provide your needs. Now, how are you doing at that? I realize it is old hat. Since you were a little child in Sunday school, you've heard, wait for God to supply your needs. Let me ask, have you outgrown that? I can teach, but I can't learn you. God must do that, right? And that requires waiting. My older daughter, Carissa, had an operation on her eye when we lived in Texas. Her eye was weak, and in its weakened condition, the muscles caused her eye to turn outward. Our doctor there said, I'll do my best. When he finished the surgery, her eye was turning in. We moved to California, and because her eye was not improving, we sought help again. By this time, she was having to wear a very heavy lens. We found a pediatric ophthalmologist who worked on nothing but children's eyes. He gave us about the same hope as the Texas physician. I'll do my best, but now scar tissue has set up. It will be difficult when I get in there. So I want to tell you ahead of time that it could turn all the way in or out in one direction or the other. Just be ready. As all fathers are, I was convinced that God was going to make everything all right. She came out of surgery bloody, swollen, and bruised. I wanted her to open her eye. I remember standing by the bedside and saying, "Honey, can you open your eye for Daddy? Open it." Her mother and I anxiously awaited that first peek. Finally, the eyelid came open. The eye was turned all the way in, right against her nose. All one could see was the white part of her eye. I hit bottom. I'll tell you, that was one of the lowest moments in my life. Honestly, I did not know how to cope with it. I said to Cynthia, "I'm going." "Where are you going?" she asked. "I don't know," I answered. "I'm just leaving." I got into the car and drove to my office. I went inside the study, put my Do Not Disturb sign on the knob, and locked the doors. My secretary tried to come in, and I told her to go away. It was absolutely dark. I was extremely depressed. A very close friend talked to my wife and took a chance at finding me in my study. He came by, expressed his genuine concern and said, "Come on, let's get out of here." He put his arm around me and we got into his car. He didn't say a lot. We just drove. No sermons and no commands to snap out of it. Just quietness. About 2 or 3 hours later, we went back to the hospital. "I'm really going to commit this thing to the Lord," he told me, "but we have to wait on Him. We've got to trust him, Chuck. It was wise counsel from a man I love deeply.